I'm excited this morning to continue the Christmas series, if you will, that we've been doing the last 2 weeks, and this will be our final week, the week of Christmas. And we've talked the first week of the manifestation of Christ as love, and then last week we talked about the manifestation of Christ as light. So this morning we'll talk about the manifestation of Christ as life. I want to start this morning and read a section from a book, The Gospel of John, by William Barclay. Barclay is talking about John chapter 14 in this section, and he says, "Again and again, Jesus had told his disciples where he was going, but somehow they had never understood. 'Yet a little while I am with you,' he said, 'and then I go to him that sent me.'" That's from John 7, verse 33. He had told them that he was going to the Father who had sent him and with whom he was one. But they still did not understand what was going on. Even less did they understand the way by which Jesus was going, for that way was the cross. At this moment, the disciples were bewildered men. There was one among them who could never say that he understood what he did not understand, and that was Thomas. He was far too honest and far too much in earnest to be satisfied with any vague, pious expressions. Thomas had to be sure, so he expressed his doubts and his failure to understand. And the wonderful thing is that it was the question of a doubting man which provoked one of the greatest things Jesus ever said. No one need to be ashamed of his doubts, for it is amazingly and blessedly true that he who seeks will in the end find. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That is a great saying to us. Barclay goes on to say, Jesus said, "I am the life." The writer of the proverb said, "The commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproof of discipline are the way of life." And that's from Proverbs 6:23. "He who heeds instruction is on the path of life," Proverbs 10:17 tells us. "Thou dost show me the path of life," said the psalmist in Psalm 16:11. In the last examination, what man is always seeking for is life. "No one," said Jesus, "no one comes to the Father except through me. He alone is the way to God. In him alone we see what God is like, and he alone can lead men into God's presence without fear and without shame." As I said, the past 2 weeks we have looked at the manifestations of Christ as love and the manifestation of Christ as light. We looked at the great need this world has and the great grace the Father has given to us in light. Today we are going to look at the manifestation of Christ as life. As John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The manifestation of Christ as life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We'll start in Luke chapter 1. 26 through 33, familiar passage. Luke 1, 26 through 33. I'll read that to us this morning. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The manifestation of Christ in love as life. A very familiar passage foretelling of the birth of Jesus. Again, his birth is very important. We have talked about this over the last few weeks. And John talked a lot about it in 1 John. John talks about the manifestation of Christ on this earth as an act of love from the Father. So, it is important during this Christmas time that we reflect on the Christmas message of a baby coming to this world. We first understand that that baby in a manger, that baby in Bethlehem, was fully God and fully man. We see this in verse 32 of Luke 1. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." It is the fundamental and foundational truth of a child of God that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We know this because John, in his first letter that we just finished going through, spent a lot of time refuting the false teachers of the day. Those false teachers taught a false gospel, a false doctrine, that Jesus was not fully man and not fully God. We know what we have been taught from the beginning, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Father, who was with the Father from the beginning. He left his Father to fulfill his Father's will, to come to this earth a baby born in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This baby, being fully God and fully man, was born as the manifestation of God's love to us. We know the great need we have for a Savior. We know the deep darkness we are in need of a great and glorious light. We know that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, in need of life. He is the manifestation of love, sent to be the light of the world and sent to be life. We are in need of life. "I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly," John 10:10b. Today we are going to look at the manifestation of Christ as life. We looked at John 1 last week. Let me read again John 1, verses 3 and 4. "All things are made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. In him, Christ Jesus our Lord, the Son of the Father, is life." Just like the past 2 weeks, we must start at the beginning. So turn with me back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. And I'll start in verse 26. Genesis 1:26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And then turn to Genesis 2 and verse 7. 2 and verse 7. "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. In the beginning, God created man, and he literally breathed breath, the breath of life, into him. He is the creator of life. We see this in Genesis 1. We also see this in John 1 and verse 3, where it says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator of life as well as the sustainer of life. If at creation God breathed life into man, then why are we in need of Christmas? Why are we in need of a baby to come to be the savior of the world? The fall. We see the fall in Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of its, and when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. The fall of man, the first sin that brought death to man. We are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve eating the fruit of the tree that the Lord told them not to. At that time, sin came into the world. Let's look at this passage as it's told in the New Testament, Romans 5. Turn with me to Romans 5. Romans 5, and I'll read from verse 12 through 21. This is where we'll spend most of our time today. Romans 5, 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounding for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In this passage, we see the contrast between Adam and Christ. Adam was given dominion over the old creation. He sinned. He lost what he had because of Adam's sin. All mankind is under condemnation and death. Christ came as the king over the new creation. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, and that says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." By his obedience on the cross, he brought in righteousness and justification. Christ not only undid all the damage that Adam's sin affected, but he accomplished much more by making us the very sons of God. As we know, with one man's sin, Adam, God condemned the whole world by condemning the human race through one man. God was then able to save the human race through one man, Jesus Christ. Because you and I were lost in Adam, we can be saved in Christ. God's plan was gracious, loving, and wise. We know all men die, but death is the result of disobeying the law. There was no law from Adam to Moses, but men still died. A general result demands a general cause. What is that cause? It can be only one thing: the disobedience of Adam. When Adam sinned, he ultimately died. All of his descendants died, yet the law was not yet given. They died because of Adam's sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned, verse 12 says. This means all have sinned in Adam's sin. We see the contrast between Adam's offense with Christ's free gift. Because of Adam's sin, many died. Because of Christ's obedience, the grace of God abounded to many, bringing life. We see this in verse 15. Much more have the grace of God. The grace of Christ brings us spiritual life, an abundant life. Christ did conquer death, and because of that, he lives eternal life abundantly. And he gives it to all who trust in him. As I quoted already, John 10:10, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." We continue to see the contrast between Adam's sin and Christ's obedience in their effect. Verse 16, Adam's sin brought judgment and condemnation, but Christ's work, Christ's obedience on the cross, brings justification. When Adam sinned, he was declared unrighteous and condemned. When a sinner trusts in Christ, he is justified and declared righteous in Christ. In verse 17, we see the two different reigns contrasted. Because of Adam's disobedience, death reigned. The wages of sin is death. Because sin was reigning in men's lives, death was also reigning. In Jesus Christ, we enter a new kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14, verse 17 tells us. Being justified by faith, we are declared righteous. We have peace with God, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We see in Jesus Christ's reign as King, he reigns much more. The spiritual reign is far greater. The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reigns in life because of one, because of the baby in a manger, because of Jesus Christ. Adam did not have to commit a series of sins. In one act, God tested Adam, and he failed. It is called a trespass in verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Trespass means crossing over the line. God told Adam how far he could go, and Adam decided to go beyond the line God set. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, and for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Again, we see another contrast in verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." The contrast of trespass of one and the righteousness of one, meaning the righteous work of Christ on the cross. Verse 19 is called one man's obedience. Christ's sacrifice on the cross made many righteous. Our justification is the result of a living and abiding with Christ. This abiding not only results in life, but a new life, a new kind of life, a righteous life, a life of obedience to God. Our connection with Adam made us a sinner, gave us death, but our abiding with Christ gives us life, because only in him can we have life and have it more abundantly. The last contrast we see in this passage in Romans 5 is a contrast between law and grace. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's from verses 20 and 21. The law came in, but grace abounded. Grace was not an addition to God's plan. Grace was part of God's plan. It was part of God's plan from the very beginning. God dealt with Adam and Eve in grace. He dealt with the nation of Israel in grace. He gave the law through Moses, not to replace his grace, but to reveal man's need for grace. Law was temporary, but grace is eternal. As the law made man's sin increase, God's grace abounded even more. God's grace was more than adequate to deal with man's sin. Even though sin and death still reign, they still reign in this world. God's grace is also reigning through the righteousness of Christ. This body is subject to death and to the old nature, to temptation, to sin. But in Jesus Christ, he reigns in life because he is life, and he came to give life, and he graciously gives to all who put their faith and trust in him. Jesus Christ is God's anointed sacrifice. We know Satan is still at work in this world and is seeking to keep men in darkness, to keep them in their sin. Sin and death are reigning in the old nature, but grace and righteousness are reigning in the new creation, the new nature of which Christ gives. He gives to us, and he is the head. We can clearly see the contrast between Adam and Christ. Adam came from the earth. Jesus is the Lord from heaven. Adam was tested in a garden, covered and surrounded in beauty and love. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus died on a cruel cross, surrounded by hatred and ugliness. Adam sinned and was cast out of paradise, out of the garden. Jesus left his paradise of heaven to come to this world as a baby, to be the love, light, and life of this world. We can't help being born in sin, being born in darkness, as is the condition of man, but we can help staying in sin and darkness. We can experience a second birth, a new birth from above that will put us in Christ. This will give us life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the manifestation of Christ as life. 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John's message is Jesus Christ. Jesus was from the beginning. That is to say, in him, eternity entered time. In him, the eternal God personally entered the world of men. And that entry into this world was a real entry. It was real manhood that God took upon himself through the action that came to men, the word of life. The word which can change death into life, and not just surviving life, but abounding in life. The gospel message is called the word of God. It is not a human discovery. It comes from God. It is news of God, which man could not have discovered for himself. The gospel is the message which God could only have, he could have only sent to man through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Father's plan, the plan that Jesus Christ was obedient to, that is talked about in this passage of Romans 5 that we looked at. Romans 5, 18 and 19 say, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, Adam's sin, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. The Father's plan, the manifestation of his love to us in Jesus Christ to bring us life, was through death. We can have life, and we can have it more abundantly because of one man's death, the death on the cross. Jesus, in righteousness and obedience, went to the cross to die. And in his death, we have life. For we know he conquered death and rose from the dead. The baby in a manger was born so he could die. He could die as the perfect sacrifice to give us life, to give us eternal life with the Father. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. To those who believe in the name of the Son of God, have life. Faith. Life starts with faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only because of Christ's work on the cross. Only because he conquered darkness, sin, and death can we have life. We have to take that first step of salvation, putting our faith and trust in him who gave us all. Through grace alone, in faith alone, can we pass from death into life. As 1 John 3 says, yes, it is a free gift. That doesn't mean that we automatically have life. Now we are born in sin, so we have death. We must take that step of faith and put our faith and trust in him. And this will give us glorious life. We celebrate Christmas this week, and yes, it is a lot of fun to be with family and to give and receive gifts, but we must not forget the free gift of eternal life. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. This Christmas, we celebrate that abundant grace and that free gift that we have through Jesus Christ, that we have because of the manifestation of Christ as love, the manifestation of Christ as light, and the manifestation of Christ as life. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, this morning we bow down to worship and praise you. Lord, we praise you for the great gift of love that you bestow on us, for we know that you are love. And Lord, we celebrate and praise you, for you are light. You are the light in the darkness, shining in this world, so we no longer have to live stumbling in sin and trespasses, but Lord, we can see your glorious light. And Lord, today we worship you, for you are life. Lord, you are the manifestation of Christ in life, that we can look in you, bow, putting our faith and trust in you, that we may have life, that we may have eternal life. And Lord, we pray that you give us the grace that we need, the abundance grace that we need every day to be able to live this new life, to live this new creation. Help us, Lord, to live through grace in your obedience, in faith and trust in you. So, Lord, we no longer have to live in fear, have to no longer live in anxiety, but Lord, we live in your glorious light and in your glorious life. Lord, we ask that you greatly bless us now. Help us this Christmas week to reflect on you, to reflect on your great life, to reflect on your great love. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.